Steps, and while I was making two or three steps, I looked where I was stepping so I wouldn't step on twigs or anything and make noise. And the cow moose was looking at me already. And they make it small, but you know, it's really big. And I made three or four steps, and I looked up again pretty soon. I saw the bull walking right in front of the cow. I discovered the cow like that. I don't know where it came from. I guess it was laying down, I didn't know. So I took a deep breath and I saw that it fell down. No, bull. And the cow started to run. I shot at it. I thought I hit it, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, I waited there for a while and Ivan and Ray came back to me. And we butchered the. We just got the bull because it was getting dark. Then we made camp. Next morning, we butchered it and we packed it out. I told him, let's go. Let's walk around to see if we'll find the cow. Because I shot at it and we don't want to kill it for nothing. So I showed them where I shot at it, where it was standing, and we could see blood around there. But we couldn't follow it, you know. It just bled for a while, and then after that there was no more blood. We just walked in any place in the woods, in the direction it was facing, or it was going. The sooner we came up to it, about a mile back. And so they shot it again, and we packed it all out. And after we got all through, we brought all the meat right near the boat. All we have to do is throw it in the boat. And another moose came out to us right here. I remember they wanted to kill it. I told them no. We were allowed one moose each. But I didn't wanna. To tell you how much we knew about hunting that time, We were living only on sun-dried fish, I remember. We chew sun-dried fish for breakfast, we chew sun-dried fish for lunch, and we eat it for supper. Here we didn't know, all you have to do is get a moose, all you gotta do is cut the meat and put it on a stick, if nothing else, and cook yourself some meat, you know. That's what I wanted this weekend. I wanted to cook fish meat on a stick, but we didn't get enough.
Well, how do you think hunting has changed in the way you hunted when you were young to hunting moose now?
To me, it never changed, except that it's much easier for you to travel long ways, you know, with the outboard. In those days, you had inboard, and it was hard to go up side creeks and over bars, sandbars and stuff. That's the only thing. The hunting part is the same, but I know it's easier for me because we go up a lot of side creeks where, especially up Kaikuk River, where the other people couldn't go. That's the reason why I never put my 40 horse kicker on, because it's dangerous to go up side creeks with a 40 horse, you know. And you cannot go very slow, you have to idle. Okay. Did you turn it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a cat too.
Yes.
September 18th, 1979. Talking to Simeon Mountain at his home in Lotto.
Okay. I remember Christmas I was living with my mother, living here. And Christmas Eve, I believe it was, or I thought it was, tomorrow was going to be Christmas. And, before we went to bed, I seen her writing, you know, on paper or something like that. I thought to myself she was writing to Santa Claus. And we went to bed, my brother and I. Next morning when we woke up, I think we found this on the table. Two mouth organs, a little mouth organs, and a little tiny ball, too. And I thought that that was what the Santa Claus brought, you know. And I saw Mom writing the night before, and I thought she was writing to Santa Claus, you know. And that's how this mouth organ, this ball came. And then I don't know where I went. Then I started to go to school. I don't remember. Maybe around 6 or 7. And then the next Christmas I remember just I hear kids talking about hanging up stockings. So, well, I thought it was really a Santa Claus to receive. So I hung up the stockings. I was living with my aunt and uncle at that time, Daniel and Jessica. I hung up stockings over the bed. I couldn't sleep that night. I think to catch Santa Claus coming in. And anyway, I finally fell asleep. And early next morning when I woke up, the first thing I opened my eyes, I looked at the socks over my bed. We had lines, you know, so far up on the ceiling to dry clothes. That's where I had hung up the stockings. And if I woke up in the morning, opened my eyes, and it was still hanging the way I hung it up. And I was very disappointed. And since then, I knew there wasn't a Santa Claus. I don't know, maybe my uncle and aunt didn't see, you know, maybe I didn't hang it up right. Anyway, we didn't have very much money. My uncle Dan didn't make a lot of money, but we never went hungry. One thing, you know. And then I remember too, when I was growing up, you know, you go to different houses and you see people sometimes eating only one dish, you know, just like fish or meat. I used to see that. And nothing else with it. Although my uncle didn't have very much money. We always had 2-3 things with the fish, you know what I mean? Like maybe fish and macaroni and cheese or rice, potatoes, fruit sometimes. Other greens, you know. So I never was hungry in that part. And going to school, we never used to have student travel, basketball, and other activities. PE, you know, we used to have PE. Right now, I see those kids, you know, running during school hours, or playing basketball, practicing, even boxing and things like that. And I wish we had those things in, you know, in my days. You turned it off? When I went to school, we went to the Catholic school, and we had good teachers. The sisters of Saint Anne was our teacher. I wasn't very smart in school. Remember, Sister Mary Pius, one of my teachers, always used to tell me, "Empty vessel, make the most noise." Because I used to be wild. I often wonder, you know, to myself right now, well, not bragging, you know, I went a long way since those days. I wonder to myself, if Sister Mary Pius was here, I wonder what she'd say, you know, of all the things that I have to do, you know, working in the post office and things like that. I used to poke the girls as they passed by with a needle. Not hard, just enough to make them scream. Or I throw them a piece of paper or a pencil. Or I pinched them, I reached, I pinched them. And Sister Mary Pius used to slap me. But I didn't do anything. I just had a lot of life, I think. One of my boys is like that, Marvin. They say down at school every time some little boy or girl pass him, they just scream. I guess he's doing the same thing I used to do. But he's everybody's favorite. We used to burn wood in those days. And in the fall, this time of the year, all the school kids, we used to pack in wood, you know, or maybe half an hour a day for the school. Yes, it would be all cut. My uncle Dan Zipper used to work down there for 50 cents an hour. $4 a day he used to work. That's, maybe 30 years ago. But that isn't very long. Now people work for maybe $15 an hour. They're working back here at community hall, $8 an hour and $10 an hour. And then you have youth corps working for $5, you know, all day. I would just guess it was two classrooms. Maybe they're all together might have been about 35 of us, maybe 35, 40 of us. So we had on one side it was 1, 2, 3, and 4 grades, and on the other side there was maybe 5, 6, and 7. I went only as far as 6th grade. I was in 6th grade for 3 or 4 years in a row. I guess because we didn't have no books and I had a hard time to learn. Especially reading, I had a hard time in reading. But in math, I used to get A all the time. I've always been good in math, and I have to do a lot of accounting in the post office, and I have a lot of good letters from my boss in Fairbanks saying that my accounting is good all the time, and they wish there was more postmasters that could do that kind of work, then it wouldn't be so hard on them, you know, on their part, because they have to recheck our work, you know, make their own report for the whole region. I think we have about 55 offices in Fairbanks Sectional District.
You think you got most of your training in math in those days at school?
Well, you mean work in the post office now, or?
Well, the math that you use now, did you learn most of that?
Yes, yes. And then you learn, you know, working in the post office, you learn as you work. And every year or 2-3 years, there's always changes in everything. First, at the start, I don't like the changes. But then after you do that 2-3 months, 6 months maybe, then you find out the reason for the change. It's easier after you get onto it, you know. But I don't like changes. I don't think anyone does.
Well, going back to school, with the community and the people who lived in the motto, were they very involved in school?
No. No. We never had a school board or anything like that. It was mostly run by the mission, you know. And only after the state took over, we started having people involved in the school activities.
Well, how was the school different when it was run by the mission?
Well, hard time to answer that question, but in the old days, the mission didn't have very much money compared to now. I think we're in about 300,000 or 400,000 for our district. I don't know whether it's our district or just for our school. I think our school is about 300,000 to 400,000 to run the Nalada school, paying the teachers and all that. The subjects in those days was mostly reading, writing, and math. I had a hard time in English. I had a hard time with vowels and consonants, periods, commas, those things.
Well, did your uncle and aunt and mother, did they go to school too?
Mm-hmm. My uncle and mother went to school. I look at them as they're pretty smart people compared to a lot of people in their age group, you know, when my uncle was living. Because he could, you know, read and write. And he used to read a lot, my uncle.
Did they ever talk about what school was like for them?
I heard someone saying that when they first started school, it was just the four walls and a table and a bench and a few books. That's all. When we went to school, we had long tables and benches that seat maybe about anywhere from 4 to 6 students on one bench, and we used to use all the same table. I think it's the same way now. When I go down to the school, some places. But in most of the rooms, I see one student on a chair, you know, sitting on a chair and on one table. And then they have some places too where they have to study without being disturbed. They have little rooms like a lot better than a long time ago.
Did your uncle make you go to school, or did he encourage you to go to school?
Oh yes, I never missed school when we were in town, while we were in town. There was other children that missed school. I know. I guess they used to sleep in, their parents just leave them alone. But I never missed school, as long as we were in town.
Did you want to go to school?
Sometimes, but a lot of times I wanted to be out. Also, I had more schooling, the little schooling I had there helped me a lot.
Well, talking about school, you know, I hear different things, like some people up on the Kaikuku River going to the Episcopal missions. I don't know if it's different from here, but they couldn't speak their own language in school and had a lot of church schooling. Did you have
to? Oh, yes, we had to go through that too. Remember, you tell us not to, talk in Indian when we were going to school. So we didn't. I'm sure it was.
Well, what would they do if you spoke Indian in school?
We were just warned we would get punished, I believe. Anyway, we never did. We never. Anyway, a lot of the students in my age group didn't understand Indian. There's just a few that spoke it. They can speak it pretty good. And now the schools are encouraging bilingual.
Well, what do you think about that? First, they say you can't speak it now, when people aren't, forgotten, and kids haven't learned. They're trying to teach it now.
I think it's a good idea to get it back again before it, it just slowly die away. I'm for it. I'm for teaching the language and the customs, singing and dancing and so forth.
Well, did your parents speak Indian at home? Yes,
they always did.
Did you speak with your children?
Once in a while. They should make it. I should talk to them a little more often in Indian. They understand some things. Of course, they think they can speak some words. When we had the bilingual about 4 or 5 years ago, I think they were starting to pick up a lot of words. But then we had JOM brand for 3 years in a row, and we had our own people teaching. Josephine was one of them. And, the children used to come home and say a lot of words. They surprised me sometimes, But now we don't have the money. I think we just get $1,000 a year, or $2,000 for bilingual. And they teach it. Usually in January to May, 1 hour a day or something like that. It isn't enough.
Do you think that there are more young people than
the way I see it, in my days, we were slowly losing it. We were drifting, you know, farther and farther away from our language. But then after that bilingual started, we started coming back again toward the learning the language a little better. And I think right now we're about holding still. I don't think with that little schooling they have now, 1 hour a day, I don't think it's enough. If we're making any progress, it's very slow, but we're not going back. So I don't think we're going to lose it.
Well, why do you think people started drifting away from the language?
We just quit talking. Even the people my age and a little older get together. I noticed we never speak our Indian language very much, you know, as much as we should. Like, I notice when you go, you know, to other villages, or you get in a group with other people from different parts of Alaska, you know, being in the National Guard and so forth, you hear these people, like from upriver, talking their language a lot. And then the Eskimos along the coast, too, they talk in their language a lot. And we don't. But sometimes, I guess we want to show them that we can talk in a second language too. So we just look at each other, similar voice from the Lado or Celtic, and we just start talking in our language, and they quit. You know, we were just told not to speak it in front of other people that don't understand it, because they, you know, they might think you're talking about them. And I guess we're just used to the idea. So usually when we're with other people that don't understand our language, we just never talk only in English.
Was that your teachers and the priests who would say that? Who would tell you not to talk in your language in front of people? Or was it your own parents?
I don't remember, but I think they used to, our parents used to warn us in those days, you know, not to talk in our language, because, you know, the other people might think we're talking about them. And we just don't.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, even though maybe people are drifting away from the language, it seems that a lot of the old ways were still being
taught.
What are some of those things that were really important when you were growing up? Your parents taught you to do in some of the old ways?
Show me the what?
Beliefs that you have, like the right way. Mm-hmm.
I have to think for a while. A lot of things we used to do, almost, you know, they used to tell us Hotlana. Hotlana in Arnhem means it's no good. Everything used to be Hotlana. It's no good to do that. I cannot express the meaning of it, but Hotlana to me sounds like Well, it's no good. You know, it's just. Maybe you wouldn't live long or something like that. I have to think about some of the things. You know, it just can't come back to me that fast.
And I guess some of the things too, it's like the things you do every day and you believe, you don't, it's hard to be single out what
mm-hmm.
those things are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about, let's see. Were there ever any things in school that maybe the teacher would tell you to do, but your parents, if that was the plan of?
No, we never ran into anything like that. No. Yesterday I was telling you, you know, I used to be lucky. Well, that's Hatlana too. Sometimes when someone is too lucky, extra lucky, it means one wouldn't live long, you know, so they would tell you had sang.
Would there be things like certain foods that people couldn't eat or certain
mm-hmm.
foods that people couldn't
eat? Mm-hmm. I remember my uncle and aunt warning us when we ate fresh fish not to run around, not to play ball. In those days we used to play football right out here on the road. Everybody, young and old, used to be good exercise. We used to play way into the dark till 6-7 o'clock, you know. And I remember honey, we had fresh fish. They tell us it's Hatlana to run around after you eat fresh fish.
But it was okay to eat other things like fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another thing too, we never used to do is feed dogs fresh fish bones or leftovers, you know, from supper. You have to wait till the next evening. I didn't know the reason. It was just Hatlana, you know, it's no good. And even we didn't believe in it, my uncle and aunt, but it was, you know, taught to them, so they just brought it on down.
Do you think a lot of those things have changed with young people now that they don't?
Mm-hmm. We don't observe that rule anymore, like after you eat fresh fish.
Well, I guess there's still lots of things that people do observe
still. Mm-hmm. Even we don't believe in them, I mean, a lot of the things, you know, we just won't do it. You know.
It's like that from where I'm from. You know, a lot of things have changed, but we have what they call hiya, which is kind of like what you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What they call kapu. There are certain things we still, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't do, but there's a lot of things that my parents quit observing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just got it on batteries.
No. Oh, I was saying that I used to hear them saying that a lot of the old people used to forbid their children to eat certain food. And that's the best part or something like that. So they want it for themselves, I guess, and they tell their children not to.
Some people said maybe the old people part of the meat.
Mm-hmm. But like I said before, my uncle and aunt never used to warn us not to eat, except for they used to warn girls, especially teenagers, maybe when they're 12 on up, not to eat certain part of a beaver, because they say they'll have a hard time to have children. It's in our language, I think we call it mustiroid. It's a hip bone anyway of the beaver. That's the only thing I have to remember. Even now, we observe it. Even, I guess, well, we don't believe it, you know. But we still tell our girls not to eat it, that part. Otherwise, they eat everything we cook.
Well, are there certain things, like with hunting, that certain things that aren't good to do?
For one thing, is stepping over boys or men, girls. You're not supposed to step over, like, boys' legs or men when they're sitting down or something. You're supposed to walk around them. If you step over them, they say it's bad luck, you know, Hatlan.
So that would be bad luck for them if they go hunting?
Or? Yes, it would be bad luck for the person they walk over, you know, or stepped over. I think that's about all I remember.
This kind of changes the subject, but since, you know, maybe plenty of time to think about it. But I was wondering about your father's name. It's really an interesting name. I like that. And I was just wondering where
do you remember?
It came from.
You remember his name?
Cosmos.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess they got it from the Bible. I don't know. Yes, my dad was, he was well liked, and he never used to drink, or he just started, I guess, to drink a little, and he died. He died of a heart attack, and he was a good carpenter, I say.
What kind of things did he build?
Houses. Cupboards, tables, and he used to do a lot of fancy work on the cupboards, you know, maybe make flowers or all kinds of designs, and he never used to go to school for it. He just learned by himself, I guess, and no tools in those days. Everything now is electricity.
What other things did you hear about your father?
Oh, he used to be a good player, good violin player. I heard someone from Glena here last night. Yeah, Jimmy Marley. I was sitting down and he was playing this violin, and he said my dad used to be the best violin player. And he's the one that taught him and Justin. They used to go see him and ask him to, you know, teach them how to play. And so he used to sit with them, and they learned how. Well, both of them play violin.
Where did he learn to play violin?
I have no idea. I guess he just learned by himself, I don't know. And another thing he was good in was sports. He was good in baseball. In those days they used to play baseball. No. Hardball, not softball like we play now. His father, Mac, taught them how to play. So they used to have a good team here in the lab. And the other villages couldn't beat them. I said, you know, really in a real baseball, hardball. I always hear people talking about that. I don't even play baseball. I mean, say softball, you know. I said my dad was good in that.
Maybe remember. What I'll do is change the tapes now. Mm-hmm.